served at any time, we want to thank you very much for your service and what you've done for us. Many people have laid down their freedom that each of us have the opportunity to be a part of today. But let's also make sure that we remember Christ, who gave his ultimate sacrifice so that you and I would not only have freedom here on earth, but be able to have the opportunity to one day go to heaven if we choose to accept him as our Savior. I'm thankful to be here with you all today. We just got word in Pensacola we are under a hurricane warning, so I'm thankful to just have a little bit of rain that we're experiencing outside today rather than a torrential downpour trying to come to church in that. So, hey, we can always find something we can praise the Lord for. We are from Pensacola Christian College, as was mentioned earlier, and we are excited to be with you all. Come talk to us after the service. We want to get to know you all. We really are not very scary folks. We don't bite too much, and we'll be happy to talk to you. We'd love the opportunity to talk to you. My name is Trevor Schumacher. I am from Nashville, Tennessee, and my co-leader right down here in the front, Ms. Jessica Hamilton, and she is working on her master's right now in educational leadership. She wants to ultimately go and be like a principal, be an administrator of a Christian school, and be able to invest in young people, to be able to pour into them what she has had the opportunity to go through. And she is from Marion, Ohio. We're excited again to be with you all. We're going to be here this morning with you. Maybe you don't have plans this morning. We're going to be here at the 11 o'clock hour. Maybe if you really enjoy the music, you can always come back and then, you know, leave when I get up to preach if you didn't like it the first time. But if you don't have anything going on, we'd love to see you again at the 11 o'clock service. You'll be able to hear again from them as they sing. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And the title of my message this morning is When the Brook Runs Dry. When the brook runs dry. What do you do when you find out that the job that you've had for a long time is being closed, or you know that you're about to lose your job, or maybe you've already lost your job? What do you do when you have no finances? What do you do when you find out that your parents are getting divorced, that they are separating? What do you do when you find out that someone close to you only has a few months left to live? They're dying of cancer. What do you do when you find out that your family is having to relocate for the third time this year because your parents' job continues to be moving around? Maybe this morning you've been praying for a long time that the Lord would give you clear direction in the path. And as the Lord has been leading, it seems like all the doors are opening up. And at the last minute, right when you finally feel that the Lord is leading you there, the door closes on what seems to be God leading you in an area. Maybe you're thinking this morning, God, there's this friend in my life who started off as a blessing, but now that friendship has ended in sorrow. That friendship is no longer there. Why did you bring this beautiful child into my life only to see them die only after a few months? Why did you allow... You can fill in the blank. We can list a number of different reasons, a number of different things that we want to know why. Why did this happen, Lord? Why did that happen? And many times we don't get the answers for that. Sometimes we do. But through these different difficulties, through these different trials that we go through, many of these God is using in our life as opportunities to test us, to see if we can be stretched, to see if we can grow and stay faithful to him. And God wants each and every one of us this morning to be stretched in our walk with him. God is not content. God does not want us to be content with where we are at in our walk with him right now. He doesn't want us to get saved and then do nothing for the Lord, to just become stagnant in our walk with him. But he wants us to be growing, to be developing. And through this passage, we're going to see three different tests that the Lord places on each and every one of us to test us, to test our calling, to see if we're going to be faithful to him, or as the song just sung, faithful to the cross. If you have your Bibles, we're in 1 Kings chapter 17. The first test that God places on us is he tests our calling. He tests our calling. Look at verse 7 with me. And it says, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Each of us, as believers, has a calling on our lives. God has called each and every one of us, first of all, to be a Christian, to be a light for Christ, but then God has placed individual callings on each and every one of us. Some of you are in the business field. Some of you are in the ministry field. Some of you are in education. But God has specifically called each and every one of you to a specific calling. None of us have the exact same calling in our life, and I'm thankful for that. It would be a boring world if we all did the exact same thing, if we all had the exact same job. But God has given each of us unique talents best suited for us to be able to be a Christian, to be able to share the gospel. I can remember when I was 11 years old, going forward, we had Awana. I remember going forward, making a decision for the Lord to, hey, I didn't know what he had for me at the time, but I was going to serve him, regardless of where it was. Even if the joke, if he was going to send me to Africa and be a missionary, wherever he would have me, I was willing to be used. And it was within the last few years that I've really sensed the Lord leading me to one day go into the pastorate, to be in full-time ministry. And that calling that God has placed on me, God has not given all of us a desire to be pastors, which, you know, some of you are like, praise the Lord, because I hate standing up in front of people. But see, there's different things that God has specifically, uniquely given all of us. Just on our team, we have a wide variety of different people studying different things. We have nurses. We have people wanting to go into advertising. We have those who want to be involved in singing or in the ministry. And that's just seven people right there, let alone everyone in here has a lot of different unique talents, a lot of unique abilities. And I'm thankful that God wants to use each and every one of us. He wants to use each and every one of us if we're willing to allow him to use us. And at this point, it's really easy to say, okay, you know, that's great. I'm looking around at the room, and I can definitely see that God can use him. God can use her. They have these great abilities. They have these great natural talents. But Trevor, let's be honest. I'm nobody. I can't do anything. I have no special talents. I don't like to speak. I can't play sports. What good am I to God? But I'm thankful that God does not look at our abilities. God doesn't look at the natural talents we may have. He doesn't care if you're a great speaker. He doesn't care if you are great at sports or even if you're not great at sports. God just wants those of us who are willing, those of us who are available for his use. And God tests our calling. If we look back at verse 9 and even verse 7, it says that this place where the Lord had led him, he was at this brook, Cherith, where God was feeding him on a daily basis. God had led him to this brook. And we don't know the exact amount of time that he had been there, but God led him here. It was his will for Elijah to go and be fed there daily. But after a period of time, we look back at the verse. In verse 7, it says specifically that the brook dried up. What's he going to do now? This is a great opportunity. He could begin questioning God. The brook, Lord, it's getting lower. There's not as many ravens flying around here anymore. And I would like to eat every day. Lord, the brook is now dried up. What am I supposed to do? You've led me here. What's next? And if we look at verse 9, the Lord always has a plan. Even if we don't know what that plan is, God always has a plan. If you look at verse 9, it says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So God tests our calling. He wants to see if we're willing to continue on, even when God is continuing to lead us in a direction, only to have that brook dry up where God is clearly leading him. See, God didn't want Elijah to just be satisfied in the same place forever. God wanted him to grow. God wanted him to develop in his walk with God. And if you look at the verse again, it says two times it was there where God was going to use him again. It wasn't to stay at the brook. It wasn't to stay where he was at in his walk with God. But it was to continue on to the next direction, to the next path that God had for him. And we must be obedient if God is going to be able to use us to our full potential. If we're not willing, if we're going to be satisfied with staying at the brook that's run out, God's not going to be able to bring us to Zarephath, to bring us to that next step that he has for us, that next blessing that God wants to give to each and every one of us. See, God has already prepared everything in advance. Even when this brook was drying up, even when the brook had dried up, God was already preparing this widow to be able to help Elijah. Even when Elijah did not know what God was doing, God had a plan. Will you trust God's plan today? Even when everything seems lost, even when you look around and you have no idea how God is going to make something happen here, will you trust God? Will you rely upon him? Where God leads us, he is going to give you what you need. God doesn't lead us into a path only to have us crash, only to have us be destroyed. No, God leads us and then he blesses once we take that step. So we must be obedient to our calling. So God tests our calling. He wants to see if we're going to follow him even in the vocation, even in the ministry that God has placed upon us. But secondly, God tests our cooperation with him. God tests our cooperation with him. Look at verse 4 now, and it says, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." We'll look back at verse 9 again. It says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Verse 10, "So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son, for thy son. Verse 14, For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Are we going to be obedient to the Lord? Are we going to be willing to obey him when God calls us to do something that maybe is out of our comfort zone, or it's not something that we really feel comfortable doing? We can look at Moses, who said he was unqualified, that God couldn't use him because he had a dumb tongue. He could not speak properly. And we look at that passage, and the Lord says that, hey, who made man's tongue? God was able to use him in spite of him. Moses did not like getting in front of people and speaking, but we see him transition into this great leader of Israel because he was willing to be obedient. Now, it took some time for Moses to get to where he became that great leader. It was a step at a time, and at the beginning, Moses still was trying to kind of shirk on his opportunity that God was trying to give him. But we see when he became obedient, when he began being faithful to what God was calling him to, when he began cooperating, being willing to be used by God, God was able to use him, do some great things. And he's the one who led the people out of Egypt. He was the savior for his people. Are we willing to follow God, even when it doesn't seem practical, even when it doesn't seem conventional, even when it goes and defies our comfort zone? Are we willing to be obedient to Him? Elijah was willing to follow God, even as this brook was drying up. We never see any period of time where he says, you know, Lord, I just don't know if I want to do that. No, we begin the chapter, and Elijah is commanded by God to go to the brook to be fed there. And so he goes, and he stays there until the Lord calls him to the next place. And we never see the Lord, we never see Elijah when God calls him then to go to Zidon, to go to Zarephath, to meet this widow woman. We never see him say, okay, Lord, you know, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You've blessed me over here. Why do I need to go somewhere else? Why can't you just allow this river to last a little longer? Why can't you continue to feed me here? Those questions could have been going through his minds. They're probably going through our minds. Why do we have to move from our place of blessing in our life, Lord? You're already blessing us here. Why do we need to be moved? Why do we need to take that step of faith? Why do we need to get out of our comfort zone when we're being used right here? See, at the brook, it eventually dried up. God had blessed him there, but God was wanting him to move on. God was wanting him to continue in the calling that he was placed on his life. And if we continue reading through 1 Kings, God did some amazing things through Elijah because he was obedient, because he was willing, and he was willing to do what God wanted him to do. He didn't question God's motives, but he simply stepped out in obedience. We look back at verse 9. At the end it says, I have commanded thee a widow woman there to sustain thee. Verse 10, so he arose and went. There isn't any period of time where he questions. He arose and went immediately. When God calls each and every one of us to do something, do we do it immediately? Now sometimes it does take a period of time. Sometimes there is a period of patience, a period of waiting. But there are certain things that all of us know on a daily basis that God wants us to do. And there are certain things that God knows, that you know right now, that God is leading you or directing you to do right now. Instead of trying to put it off, instead of trying to make excuses, will you be obedient to God? Will you say, Lord, I'm going to go. You're leading me here. And until you close the door, I'm going to continue going. I'm going to continue to take that step of faith because I know that if you're leading, you're going to bless, that you're going to use me. Will you allow God to use you? You never know. There could be someone out here who began as that Moses who was trying to make excuses for why God couldn't use him to becoming the next great leader of our country. They could be sitting here this morning. God wants us to submit our plans to God. And will you submit your plans to God? Maybe you're thinking this morning, well, you know, the small things don't really matter. The big things, okay, I'm going to trust God for that. I'll take a step of faith. But these little things in our life, you know, what's the big deal if I don't pray every day? So I missed my devotions this morning. I missed my devotions this week. You know, it's just 1 week. I didn't get up and come to church this morning. It's a little rainy. I could use a little extra sleep. It's very easy to look at the little things in our lives and say, you know, God doesn't really care about those things. Those things don't really matter. But all of these things matter to God. It is greatly important to Him because it's what helps motivate us. It's what helps ground us in our walk with God and helps us to be able to continue in the calling that God has placed on each and every one of us. No job, no task is insignificant, no matter what it is. If God is wanting you to do it, and you're thinking, God, you know, that's something so small, it's not a big deal, but God sees all. God knows all. And even when you're doing something, God knows if you're doing it for Him or if you're doing it for yourself. God sees that insignificant thing that no one else may see. And God will one day, if He doesn't bless you here on earth for it, He'll one day bless you in heaven for being faithful to what He has called you to. If the Lord has called you to be a teacher, well, be the best godly teacher you can be. If the Lord has called you into business, be the best businessman, the best businesswoman that you can be. Whatever the Lord has called you to do, do it to the best of your ability. God often, he will test us in the small things to see if we'll be faithful in the bigger things. Now, these two areas in chapter 17 with the brook and then with the widow, in comparison with Elijah's life, are pretty small things. We see that eventually that Elijah stands before all these prophets and does a mighty work for God because he was willing to be used by him. But we have to be faithful in the small things so that we can be, the Lord can bless us and make us faithful in greater things. So God tests our cooperation with him. Are we willing to be obedient to him? And then notice with me the last test. God tests our confidence. God tests our confidence in him. Verse 15. This is the widow speaking of. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And this sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Verse 24, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. God tests our confidence. God often tests us to see if we're going to trust him. And if we're all honest, this is an area that sometimes we don't want to. We don't want to have complete trust in one person. It's hard, especially in the age we live in, to completely trust someone, to completely let go. We want to be in control, and it's hard to give our complete control to someone. But God wants us to give him our complete control, to allow us, he wants us to be confident in him. And many times, God is working behind the scenes. Many times, we do not see what God is doing in our life, but he is working in each and every one of us. If we are faithful in the small things, if we're faithful in the greater things that God is calling each and every one of us to. See, this widow was faced with a tough choice. First of all, Elijah came to her, and she was about to eat her last meal with her son and then die. And some of us, we can't really fathom that because we have never experienced something like that. But if imagine with me this morning, if that's your case, you're going to eat your last meal and die. And some stranger comes up to you and says, hey, give me your last meal. Give me the last bit of water. Give me the last bit of food. And I promise that if you will be obedient, that the Lord will bless you. And maybe some of us out there were like, oh, well, I'm obviously spiritual. And of course I would give my food to this random stranger. But no. If you're like me, we'd say, okay. Who are you? She didn't know this prophet of God. She didn't know who this man was. But she was obedient. She was obedient, not to Elijah per se, but more, she was obedient to the Lord through Elijah, and God blessed her because of it. She had no idea if what this man was saying was true. She had no idea if this would actually come to pass, but she still trusted. We don't see any other time. I mean, she immediately went and did that. We don't see in Scripture that she was like, oh, I don't know about that. No, she was obedient, and she went and did that. So she was faced with this tough choice to begin with, and God begins blessing her. She sees this cruse of oil continuing to fill every day. I can imagine every morning she goes, she gets to prepare the food, wondering, is the oil still going to be in there? Am I going to have enough? And every day she would come back and see that God had worked another miracle in her life. And it can even become something in her life where she just gets used to it. In a period of time, we don't know exactly how long, a period of time goes by and her son gets sick. It says that ultimately he had died. There was no breath left in him. And though she had seen God do all these great miracles, there was a point where, like, why did this happen to me? I gave you that food. I was willing to do that even when I didn't know. I was obedient. I trusted. Why is my son dead? Why did he have to die? If we're not careful, we do the same thing in our life. We see God do an amazing miracle, but we look around and see people that have been healed from these amazing diseases, and we see them in our life. We see the miracle, but sometimes it's very easy to look at the miracle, and we get so used to seeing it that it just becomes something that, it's just something that happened. It's not something that is amazing or spectacular anymore in our life. And we see that miracle, and we just see it as a natural part of our life. And maybe this is where she got to. She got used to having that oil so that she didn't even think about it when her son died. She didn't think about, man, God was able to do this great miracle to provide us food. Surely he can save me here. Surely he can save my son. So we ultimately see that Elijah, through the Lord, heals her son. And we read back that in verse 24, it says, "And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." So we see God do this great miracle again in her life. And she realizes that, hey, Elijah is a man of God, that the word of the Lord is truth. She renews her confidence in God, if you would allow me to use that. Are you confident in God? Sometimes our faith wanes. Sometimes we get used to the blessings. Sometimes we become complacent and we don't look at the miracles that God has placed in our life. And we get used to them being there that we forget about them. And we begin to wonder, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? We forget about all the blessings that the Lord has given to us. We forget that every time the Lord has led, if we're in his will, if we're following after him, that he blesses. We forget sometimes that our confidence needs to be in him, that God wants us to trust in him, even when all hope seems lost, even when that loved one gets cancer, even if you lose a child, even if you lose your job, God wants you to trust him. God wants you to continue to trust in him so that he can bless, so that he can use. This life, this woman was tested. She was stretched, and she ultimately came through realizing that God is who he always said he was. Will you trust God? Why was this woman chosen? Was she something special? Was she something different? Was she this super spiritual woman of her day that God just said, oh, I have to use her? No, she wasn't. Actually, in Luke 4, 25 and 26, it says that there were many widows in the days of Elijah. There were many widows that were about, but only one was sent to Elijah. Only Elijah was sent to one of these widows. There was nothing special about this woman per se. But she was ready. She was willing for God to use her. And God was able to use her. See, God sometimes stretches us. Sometimes God wants to test us by seeing if we're going to be confident, if we're going to trust in him. Will you trust in God, even when all hope seems lost, even when that difficulty comes? Will you keep your eyes on God? Will you say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. I don't know what's going on, but you've been faithful to me, and I know you're going to continue to be faithful to me. This morning, will you allow yourself to be stretched? Will you allow yourself to grow in your walk with God so that God can use you to your full potential? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your blessing upon us. Lord, thank you for the ultimate gift, the ultimate sacrifice that you placed on the cross for each and every one of us. As we don't deserve it, We're not worthy of it. And sometimes, many times, we forget the miracle that you already did in our life by sending your son. We didn't deserve that. We get upset when you do different things in our life, but we forget what you did for us on the cross. Lord, I pray that we will ever be mindful of that, that we will allow you to stretch us, that you allow us to be able to develop and grow in our walk with God. I pray that we won't be satisfied with where we're at now, but as you lead, as you guide, as you direct, that we will continue to grow. With your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, I'm going to turn it over to your pastor.
Our heads bowed and eyes closed. God will never lead us where he will not meet our needs. Whether it's God taking you to the brook that's drying up or whether it's a widow woman that needs to provide for you, no matter what it is, God is always there. He will never abandon us. He will never forsake us. Maybe you're struggling this morning. You say, I just feel like I'm drifting away from the Lord, and I just need prayer about that, that I might return to Christ and walk with God because of the fact that I've been doubting whether he can provide for the special need that I have right now. And I need prayer about that. Won't you slip your hand up so I can pray for you, anyone at all? See that hand over there, anyone else? So I just really am struggling in some areas, and I need God to show himself miraculous and true. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Love to pray for you. If you can slip your hand up, I won't call you out, but I'll pray for you. Say, I'm not sure I'm saved, and I need prayer. My Father, I come to you. I thank you so much for just allowing us to be together this weekend, Lord, this holiday weekend, Memorial Day. Lord, we're thankful for the many, many sacrifices that have been made over the years. People have laid down their lives that we might be able to have the freedom that we enjoy as a nation, as a people. But God, most of all, we're thankful that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He provided a way for redemption to be experienced upon man. He provided a way for us to be delivered from the bondage of our sin, to be able to know that we're free in Christ. And I pray, Lord, if there is someone here not saved, that you would touch them, Lord, they would come to the cross, believe, and be able to leave here knowing they're going to heaven. I pray for every believer this morning. We know God's call is unique upon us. And we know that God, no matter where you lead us, you're always a promise that you would never forsake us or leave us. Lord, you promised you'd provide for us. God, you promised you'd use us. And so, God, I pray that we would be sensitive to the touch and the leading of God. We have faith to believe and confidence to know that there is always hope with God. And so, blessing this invitation, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's